Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's good to be back here with you again.
Yes, here we are, just a few days before Christmas.
Hard to believe.
And we want to wish everyone a Merry Christmas from Gift of Grace Ministries.
Yes.
And hope you're having an awesome Christmas and not the secular crazy Christmas, but like the real Christmas.
On behalf of the Board of Directors of Gift of Grace Ministries, that's Phil and I.
That's and all our staff.
That's Phil and I.
All our staff passes along their Christmas greetings. We didn't send out any Christmas cards this year because it's not in our budget.
Anyway, man. Maybe
next year.
Maybe next year.
Anyway, so here we are. This is the last Sunday of Advent.
Yes, it is.
Amazing how fast time is going. Mm-hmm. Advent, which, of course, is the preparation time. So we prepare ourselves for the birth of Messiah. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't heard the other shows, let me start by saying we're not going to discuss when was Jesus really born. We'll ask them that when we get to heaven and, you know, after a few thousand years that you've kind of gotten used to being there, you might want to find out like when he was really born.
Yeah.
But right now, that's not really a big issue and we're not going to discuss that. And we're not going to talk about pagan holidays and Constantine and all that other stuff. But anyway, we've been going through the prophecies from Isaiah. And just to kind of finish up, well, not finish up, but just to kind of round out the Isaiah prophecies a little bit, we're going to do two other ones. And then we're going to get into an amazing kind of idea that you may or may not have thought of before. But it really has to do with what is actually happening when Messiah is born,
right,
in a form that we can see. I shouldn't put it that way, but when he's born as a human being,
right,
when he's born as little baby Jesus of Nazareth, and how after all this plan, you know, toward the end of the book of Romans, Paul talks about, I think it's in chapter 13 or 14, he talks about how there was this mystery through the whole ages that's now been revealed.
Yeah.
And when you think about our friend Isaiah, when he was writing down these prophecies, you know, he only knew what had happened up till then.
Right.
So he wasn't sure exactly how this was going to end up or why he was writing the things he was writing. And, you know, when we look back on it from 2,000 years after the cross, plus having the whole Tanakh before that, and we say, wow, that's an amazing plan of salvation that unfolds.
Yep.
And, you know, it's a mystery that's been revealed. And it's such an important thing to understand the scripture in its totality rather than we were talking before the show about taking a verse from four or five different books and putting them all together and then saying, so therefore, this means that on October 23rd, you know.
Right.
Which a lot of people do.
Right. And it's keeping, you know, it's really keeping the Word of God in context of what it was written, how it was written, who it was being proclaimed to. And, you know, what is God proclaiming through the prophets? What is he revealing through his prophets? And, the plan of salvation that is unfolding as God allows it to unfold in his time, according to his plan.
Yeah. In the fullness of time, as it says.
Yeah. Not according to my plan or Phil's plan or, our timetable, but according to God's timetable, because even in, is it First Peter that says, you know, some people think that God's delaying, but really his patience is for our salvation.
Yes, exactly.
That none may perish.
That's right. He wishes all may be saved.
Right. So, it's really how it unfolds in the fullness of time in God's plan.
Yeah, and interestingly, too, we did a couple shows on the road to Emmaus. And, you know, we remember there where Jesus says to these, it says that he started with Moses and the prophets and showed how all these things applied to him.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. So when you look at, when you study the Torah, when you study the prophets, when you study really the whole Tanakh, mm-hmm. you should think of it in terms of how does this apply to the Messiah? Mm-hmm. And you see that all these things are types and shadows, and he's the substance,
right.
as the writer to the Hebrews says.
Right.
And one of the amazing prophecies in Isaiah is in Isaiah chapter 7. I'll give you a second to flip to that. Verses 10 to 14, where Isaiah, of course, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, gives an amazing prophecy that we'll have Stephen read, because this is a prophecy that is so unlikely to be true that it's really kind of a signal point of how Jesus is different than anybody else who came. Mm-hmm. Do you have 7 to 14 ready there?
Oh, 7 to 14?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, I'm sorry, chapter 7, verses 10 to 14.
Oh, yeah, 10 to 14. Again, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, "Ask for a sign from the Lord, your God. Let it be deep as Sheol or high as the sky." But Ahaz answered, "I will not ask. I will not tempt the Lord." Then he said, "Listen, house of David, it is not enough that you weary human beings. Must you also weary my God? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The young woman, pregnant and about to bear a son, shall name him Emmanuel. Curds and honey he will eat, so that he may learn to reject evil and choose good. For before the child learns to reject evil and choose good, and the land of those two kings whom you dread shall be deserted."
So it's a sign. God, speaking through Isaiah, says to King Ahaz, we're not going to get into him, he was a bad king, and you can see he's kind of snotty here. But he says, "Tell me, what kind of a sign would you like?" Mm-hmm. So he says, I don't want to ask about a sign. So God says, "I'm going to give you a sign. The virgin shall be with child and bear a son and name him Emmanuel."
Right.
So he says, ask about it. It could be from the depths, as you said, from Sheol. It could be from the depths or it can be from the heights. Just pick a sign. And the sign that he gives him, that God gives to Ahaz, is so amazing that it spans depths and heights. Mm-hmm. A virgin to be with child. This goes beyond any kind of human experience. Mm-hmm. It goes beyond any kind of thing that a human being would think of. Mm-hmm. And says, not only is the virgin going to be with child, she's going to bear a son and name him Emmanuel, which we hear that all the time and say, okay, so his name's Emmanuel. I thought his name was Jesus. But, you know, Emmanuel, of course, means God is with us.
Right.
El is the important part of the word. God is with us. So this virgin is going to have a son whose name is God is with us. Mm-hmm. And it's a sign that only God could give. Isaiah, in his mind, would never say, well, a virgin's going to have a child and name him Emmanuel. Mm-hmm. Because that would be totally outside of human experience.
Right.
And it's another good example of somewhere else in Isaiah. I don't remember now offhand where it is. God says, I don't do anything without telling everybody first. You know, the Bible has prophecy in it all through it. So God says ahead of time what he's going to do. And what he's saying is God is going to be with us in a very real sense, in a way that a virgin is going to bear a son. Mm-hmm. So there's going to be a man who's actually God with us.
Right.
And we, of course, like I just said, we're living 2,000 years after the cross. We look back and go, well, of course, Jesus is the God-man. But Isaiah would never in a million years would have understood what this meant. Well, I shouldn't say a million years, but 700 more years he would have.
At least 700.
Yeah. So, you know, this amazing prophecy, this amazing promise is given to this king, and we're not going to get into the king, but he's an evil king.
Yeah.
But God uses this opportunity, we're not going to talk about the context, but he gives him an opportunity to put this prophecy into the book, mm-hmm. into his scripture, that Messiah was going to be born as a physical man.
Right.
And We kind of know that because your little mind should rewind back to Genesis 3:15, where God says to the serpent, I'm going to put enmity between you and the woman, between her seed and your seed.
Yeah.
He's promising a redeemer. He's promising a redeemer that's not going to have a human father. The human redeemer, the redeemer is not going to be contaminated by Adam's sin,
right?
Which came through Adam, which came through the male. And this is the plan that's going to produce Messiah in a way that no one before that would have ever imagined.
Right. And you bring up a good point because, you know, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, Adam took a bite of the apple, or Eve took a bite of the fruit. I shouldn't say apple. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Eve took a bite of the fruit first. And then Eve invited Adam to take a bite of the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and their eyes were opened.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't say their eyes were open once Eve took the bite.
Right.
But after Adam, because as in the order of creation, God created man, Adam first, and out of Adam, he created woman.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a significance to that, the order of creation that is upheld here. And, you know, as you're outlining in the context of the time that Isaiah is writing this, there's no knowledge of the Messiah being born. It's only prophesied.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so when we look at these passages, and you and I have talked about this many times, is that taking something out of the context of when it was written, to whom it was written, and really in the context of history of when it was written, is always a helpful way to study the Word of God, because it helps you to see from the writer's perspective, or, you know, that person that God's using, to put it, I guess, in a better perspective of what might it have been like when the people were first hearing this 700 years before the birth of Christ.
Yeah. They wouldn't have been able to comprehend it.
Yeah. Could they have even understood what was being said?
It's an unbelievable sign.
Right.
Because if somebody said to you, this young woman is pregnant, but she's a virgin, she's never been with a man, everybody would say, right.
Right.
Sure. It's beyond the scope of human experience.
Yeah. And thus not having the human father because sin is passed on through the,
that's right,
through the man.
That's right. It's this shows really divine authority, divine purity.
Right.
It's a sign that goes way above our experience or our emotions or what we can believe.
Right.
You know, and we think, you know, as you know, Stephen, I like to talk about the humanity of all these people that are in the scriptures. And, you know, imagine Joseph, who's in love with this young woman and he's going to marry her, and she comes and says that she's pregnant. You know, we think of it as Joseph just folded his hands and said, oh, yes, I understand. But what really would have happened was he would have said, what?
Yeah.
But he would have felt totally betrayed. Mm-hmm. He would have felt totally double-crossed. He would have felt used. He would have gone, I mean, most men would just go storming off.
Right.
Because that would be your normal reaction to such a situation.
Joseph is a human being just like you and I
are. That's right. And this, it's probably good the scripture doesn't tell us exactly what happened, but the main thing though is that he loved this woman so much that he didn't want to expose her to the law. He didn't want to expose her to shame and, you know, so forth, not to mention her family as well. But, you know, we know, like going back to the garden, that a man is not going to be involved in this.
Right.
It's prophesied way back in Genesis. And this is the unbelievable sign. I mean, nobody else in the scripture doesn't have a human father.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, other than Adam and Eve. But nobody after that doesn't have a human father.
Right.
And the fact that he's named Emmanuel, God with us, is another amazing prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you fast forward to John chapter 1, which was, of course, 700 years later, you know, John says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You know, he became the Word, capital W. And John says, well, maybe we'll do a show about that sometime. But the scripture says that the Word was with God and the Word was God. And Jesus says the living Word, John is talking about Jesus. So he's becomes flesh and lives with us. He becomes the God man. And the Greek, the original Greek there that the book of John's written in literally says he pitches his tent with us. So he takes on, not only takes on our humanity, but comes and lives with us just like somebody moves into your neighborhood and buys the house next door. Mm-hmm. He pitches his tent with you.
Right.
And he's like us in that he has a real human body. You know, in the book of Hebrews, it says, he's not ashamed to call us brethren. You know, in the book of Romans, it says we become adopted sons and we become co-heirs with the real son. Mm-hmm. In Colossians 1, it says the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him, meaning Jesus of Nazareth.
Right.
So this unbelievable prophecy that a man is born from a virgin, but is the God-man and is Messiah and Savior, all gets tied together then in the first chapter of the book of John, where this Messiah comes and dwells with us and, of course, eventually saves us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, in the first chapter of John, obviously, it's where John is saying, you know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And, you know, all things came to be through him, and without him, nothing came to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
Jesus is one. He's not, he's begotten, mm-hmm. not made.
Right.
You know, and so, and this light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really important understanding of the light of Christ, the light of Christ coming into the world, into this darkness, because, you know, it says a people who sat in darkness have seen a great light.
Ooh, yeah, I was going to get to that too.
Ooh, I'm jumping ahead, sorry.
No, go, go, go.
So it's very important that Christ, in the fullness of his humanity, but in the fullness of his divinity, is the true light of the world, and he is the way, the truth, and the life.
Mm.
And he is, you know, nothing can give us that light like Christ can,
mm-hmm.
to purify our hearts, to purify our minds, to help our eyes to see with clarity the truth of what God proclaims.
Yeah. And then later on, you know, and John chapter 3, he says, you know, light came into the world, but men preferred darkness to the light because their deeds were evil.
Right.
And whenever I read that scripture or hear it, all I can think of is our current culture, which tolerates everything except Jesus, mm-hmm. which tolerates everything except Christianity. The, you know, they don't want their evil deeds to be seen, so the last thing they want to talk about is Jesus, and the last thing they want to hear other people talking about is Jesus. And this is an awesome song.
Ooh.
But, you know, our culture prefers the darkness to the light. Because if you hold our culture up to his perfect light, you see exactly the darkness that we're living in.
Yes, exactly.
I can't believe it's the first break on it. Anyway, this is an awesome Paul Wilbur song.
Yeah.
Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Jerusalem. Like incense as we magnify the sun, mighty God of Israel, Lamb upon the throne, all blessing and honor to our God forevermore. Even so. Jesus come, all creation cry. together, we come in one accord. The bonds of peace unite us in the Spirit of the Lord. Oh, clothe us with salvation, robes of purest white, the body of Messiah. We are precious in your sight. Even so, even so, even so, Yeshua.
Stockings for Change is a new nonprofit organization. We provide Christmas stockings filled with age-appropriate personal care items to kids in the foster care system. Stockings for Change will also provide these items in cinch sack backpacks to kids in emergency transition situations throughout the year. You can make a donation by going to our website, www.stockingsforchange.org. Thank you so much, and please pray for us, make a donation, and keep us in your thoughts throughout the year. Merry Christmas.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220, the last show before Christmas.
Yeah, who's that?
Oh, that's my niece, Julie.
Oh, that's our yeah. voice from.
And that's her very worthy organization, yeah. And please support it, and she'll be back with us in the next couple or a few weeks to tell us more, because this is something that's going to go on year round.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be just for the Christmas season.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, she's a very good.
Yeah. So since we're waiting for Messiah to be born, and we just went through this amazing prophecy about a virgin being with child, the last Isaiah prophecy we're going to do is in chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. And this is not so much about his birth as it is about a little bit later on in his life. But, Steve, if you have that ready, you can go ahead and read it.
1 through 7?
Yeah.
The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Upon those who lived in a land of gloom, a light has shone. You have brought them abundant joy and great rejoicing. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at harvest, as they exult when dividing the spoils. For the yoke that burdened them, the pole on their shoulder, the rod of their taskmaster, you have smashed as on the day of Midian. For every boot that trampled in battle, every cloak rolled in blood, will be burned as fuel for fire. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, upon his shoulder dominion rests. They name him Wonder Counselor, God Hero, Father Forever, Prince of Peace. His dominion is vast and forever peaceful, upon David's throne and over his kingdom, which he confirms and sustains. By judgment and justice, both now and forever, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
Ooh, that's pretty cool.
Mm.
And what he's talking about here is the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, which is in the Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
It's called the Galilee of the Gentiles. And it was called Galilee of the Gentiles because Galilee was up in the northern part and it was influenced by the Gentile people around them. So these people who lived in Zebulun and Naphtali had all these Gentile influences, and the place was actually called Galilee of the Gentiles. Mm-hmm. And which was, you know, kind of a derogatory term.
Right.
But it was reality. And these were the people that walked in darkness.
They didn't know God.
They didn't know. They were influenced by too many other sources.
Mm-hmm.
And they were at the border of these places, and it was called Less Esteemed. The place was less esteemed because God's prohibition against idolatry and against all these things. And so these were people that walked in darkness. They were covenant people, but they walked in darkness, and it says they've seen a great light. They dwelt in the land of shadow, and a light has shined on, has shone on them. And it's interesting because, you know, we all live in, you know, we all at one time, or many people still are living in the shadow of sin, in the darkness of sin. Mm-hmm. And there's one light that can shine through that. Right. And this is another analogy to this. You know, the light of Jesus can shine through that.
Right.
And probably most of you listening can remember a time when your darkness of sin was penetrated by that light.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes in a kind of surprising way, at a time you weren't expecting it.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you were seeking for it and looking for it and it happened.
Yeah, in a very powerful way.
Yeah.
You know, our friend Irene Friedman talked with us about that when she was in Ukraine and the, you know, the Berlin Wall fell.
Yeah.
How this light just came into that area of the world.
Yeah.
And there was this freedom to worship God, and God just, you know, poured out his grace upon those people.
I love that story.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's walking through her town, and there's some people from a church in Kentucky that are preaching in her town square.
Yeah.
And she comes to faith in Yeshua, Jesus, listening to these people from Kentucky. This is only by the Holy Spirit that this happened.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's just awesome.
Yeah. Doesn't study a theology book, doesn't start researching anything, just hear somebody talking.
But that's what happens, you know.
Yeah.
And this is what we're talking about here, is that these people that walked in darkness who, you know, they didn't know God. They didn't seek God. And, you know, this is even prophesied about, you know, those who did not search me for me will find me. Those who did not know me will know me.
Yeah.
And so they see this great light, and it's the light of Christ, as we just talked about, you know, in the Gospel of John.
Yeah. Because the gospel shines in like a light.
Right.
You know, whether you're talking about the Galilee of the Gentiles 2,000 years ago, or you're talking about Cleveland or Youngstown in 2014, there's darkness, there's gloom, there's sin, but the light of the gospel shines through that.
Yeah.
And you see, like, when these people find the light, they rejoice in it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, this is awesome.
Yeah.
And there's a, like, it's like the joy of a harvest, or it's like a joy of victory, or like, who doesn't, well, I guess some people don't want to have victory over sin, but in the long run, much better to have victory over sin than to have sin have victory over you.
Yeah.
But anyway, and, you know, there's like a joy that comes when the gospel's found.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure, again, that all of you listening, or most of you listening, have had that experience and have had that joy, and you can remember how it came on you and how exciting it was. And for those of you that don't have a clue what we're talking about, we'll get back to that later. But it's really important to understand that living in darkness and gloom is not just confined to one geographic area. It's all over the place. And when the light shines, this is actually fulfilled in Matthew's gospel in chapter 4 in verses 13 to 16, because Jesus went to dwell in Capernaum.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't from Capernaum. He was from Nazareth, which is also in the Galilee. But he went to live in Capernaum, which is right there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. It's right there in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali.
Mm-hmm.
And so the prophecy of old Isaiah from 700 years before is fulfilled, because in this dark, gloomy Galilee of the Gentiles type of place, the light comes to live.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. And, you know, interestingly, it talks about how, and again, these are, you know, to us, from our vantage point, we understand what this means because we know the story.
Right.
Isaiah didn't know the story.
Right.
So Isaiah says, okay, light's going to shine here. Okay. What does that mean? Okay. Something light's going to come.
Yeah.
But then he says the yoke and their burden are smashed. You know, the taskmaster is smashed. You know, what's the taskmaster? Sin. The burden of sin is removed. The yoke that sin has over you, that attaches you to it, is removed.
Yeah.
The punishment is removed. And it talks about, like, when they were fighting Midian, and he's talking about Gideon fighting Midian.
Right.
You know, the gospel breaks all of this yoke, all of this burden.
Right.
And it takes you from slavery to liberty.
Yeah. Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, how God used the judge Gideon to deliver the northern territories from the Midianite oppression. And so if you're oppressed by, you know, if you're oppressed by a foreign people or a foreign ruler, what's that like?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we really don't experience that here in our country. Mm-hmm. You might not like one political party or the other, but we're not oppressed by, a totalitarian rule or a dictator where these people were, they were overtaken and they were made slaves.
Yeah.
And so this whole picture of someone being oppressed, someone in slavery, and they're being set free from that. You know, think of what that would be like if you were under under something like that.
Yeah.
And then you're freed.
Yeah.
The joy that you would have, the feeling of deliverance that you would have.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But really, that's what we are. If we are engaged, if we're engaged or engulfed in sin, we are under oppression.
Mm-hmm.
Because sin is very oppressive.
Mm-hmm.
And it divides us. It separates us from the love of God.
And it is a dictator.
And it is a dictator. Because sin wants to rule you. Sin wants to master you.
Yes.
And, you know, and even God says in the book of Genesis, when there's Cain and Abel, is that, Cain's sin is crouching at your door, but you can master it.
Mm-hmm.
Because Cain had it in his heart to murder his brother.
Yes.
And God warns him, foretells him, you can master this.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's and this is the same idea as the yoke.
Mm-hmm.
You can be attached to it.
Right.
You're attached to it. You know, everybody has different weaknesses, you know. I'm not going to go through the thing, but.
Right.
Like I always say, like, you know, the chances of me robbing a store are zero. Mm-hmm. Or the chances of me committing cold-blooded murder today are zero.
Mm-hmm.
But not everything is zero. I mean, everybody has certain weaknesses.
Right.
The chances of me doing some kind of illegal business dealing where I make an extra $10,000 is zero.
Mm-hmm.
Because I would rather not make any money for a whole month or two or six rather than do something illegal to do it.
Right.
But not everything is zero.
Right.
Everybody has a different weakness.
Right.
And it becomes a yoke and it becomes like a taskmaster.
Yeah.
And as Paul talked about in Romans when we studied Romans, you know, even the law became a taskmaster.
Right.
Because you got to be, you had the law on top of you like a yoke.
Right.
Yoking together a bunch of oxen and you couldn't get free from it.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the law was evil, but you were kind of stuck because you couldn't do the law, but you were a prisoner to the law.
Right.
And so that was even smashed. The ceremonial law was taken away.
Mm-hmm.
So now we can serve without fear. We live in liberty now because
mm-hmm.
we live in grace rather than be worrying about every law and whether you've done it exactly right or not.
Right.
And it's interesting because that's all described as kind of a joyous victory over an enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a breaking of bonds. It's being set free. You know, some of you have probably seen a picture of Jesus with chains being broken
because
you could be chained to things that he can break away.
Right.
And so we should be able to serve without fear. We should be happy. We should be joyful. Because this is the good news.
Exactly.
And when you do fall, you know, some people think, well, once you come to Jesus, you're never going to commit another sin. Well, that's not true. But as long as you're breathing, you're going to get
it. That would be nice.
Yeah.
I mean, God doesn't take away our free will.
Exactly. But you know that when you fall, you can turn to him and repent.
Mm-hmm.
The gift is there, the gift of grace. Oh.
That would be a great name for a radio show.
It would. That'd be awesome.
Oh, we already have that.
Yeah.
Anyway.
If you're just tuning in, this is Gift of Grace Radio. But anyway, so we should be joyful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, and I think that, does that lead us to a point of being joyful to see something that others haven't seen before, that they long to see but did not see.
That's right. Excellent. See, the Bible is just full. And then the next section of this is so cool because a child is born, a son is given.
Mm-hmm.
A child is born. A child is a baby human.
Right.
So a baby boy is actually born.
Right.
I mean, born means comes out of the woman.
Physical appearance.
Physical appearance. The woman bears the child and then gives birth. So
a living human being.
Yeah. So a child is born, but a son, capital S, is given.
Yeah.
So you have the two natures of Messiah. You have a human baby being born. Mm-hmm. You have son, capital S, the second person of the Trinity, being given to humanity in a whole different form than anybody would have ever imagined.
Yeah.
The Messiah as the God-man. And the government's going to be on his shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Because, as he says in 2 Samuel, God tells David, I'm building you a house. It's going to last forever. There's going to be a throne. Somebody's going to come from your loins that's going to rule forever, and the kingdom's never going to end.
Right.
So the government's going to be on his shoulder. And he has all these titles. You know, we're going to, you know, we know Prince of Peace, but there's a lot of other ones.
Right.
And there's going to be no end to the government. There's not going to be a time where Jesus as Messiah, son of David's not going to be sitting on a throne ruling the universe. That right. time's never going to come. And it's going to be judgment, justice, and it's going to be forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it says the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And that's a very important point because it's the Lord, capital L, that performs this.
Mm-hmm.
It's not some human effort. It's not some way of, well, if we all get together and try to do the best we can.
Right.
This is the Lord. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. He has a zeal to save us and establish a kingdom.
Exactly.
And that's what's going to happen. And that's why the child is born and the son is given.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, when people see and look at this baby, what do they see? Do they see the light? Do they see the light that has been brought into the world as Simeon did in the temple?
Yeah. I think he's coming next week.
Oh, yeah. But it's very significant in the fact that Jesus was born as a human being because there's a very significant fact to that, in addition to him being the Messiah and the Son being given, is that there were many prophets who wanted to see God's glory,
yes.
who wanted to hear what Jesus spoke but never heard it, mm-hmm. and who wanted to see what the disciples saw but never saw it.
Amazing.
Yeah. I mean, we can go all the way back into the book of Exodus.
Yay. We're going to do that. but you raise a good point. Like, look how much interaction Abraham had with God.
Mm-hmm.
Look how much interaction Moses had with God.
Yeah.
They never saw the kingdom.
No.
They never saw and heard what the apostles saw and heard.
Right.
What we see and hear.
Right.
Way even King down, David. Even here in Independence, Ohio in 2014.
Right.
We're experiencing something that Moses and Abraham didn't experience.
King David didn't experience it.
Right. It's amazing.
You know.
Yeah. And when you say, you know, they saw the glory, this is a really important concept I think we should do now.
Yeah.
Where, you know, it's glory with a capital G. It's not like, you know, some little glory. It's glory right. with a capital G.
Mm-hmm.
And I think since you mentioned Exodus, which is probably one of my favorite books. It's my favorite book. Well, I don't know.
Uh-huh.
It's my favorite book on the Torah, I was going to say, but I really like
it. We should do one show on just your favorite book so we can.
No,
go ahead. So Exodus.
It's probably my second favorite book in the Torah after Deuteronomy. Anyway, Exodus 33. And I don't want to hear all the Christians out there saying, oh, I don't like the study of the Torah because it's really boring and there's all those names, there's all those wars, there's all that blood, there's all that stuff. But Exodus 33, verses 17 to 23. Why don't you read that, Steve?
The Lord said to Moses, this request too, which you have made, I will carry out, because you have found favor with me, and you are my intimate friend. Then Moses said, please let me see your glory. The Lord answered, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim my name, Lord, before you. I have shown favor to whom I will, I who grant mercy to whom I will. But you cannot see my face, for no one can see me and live. Here, continued the Lord, is a place near me, which you shall station yourself on the rock. When my glory passes, I will set you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand so that you may see my back, but my face may not be seen.
Oof.
Wow.
Yeah. So Moses does a lot of things. He's faithfully serving. He's putting up with rebellion. This is right after another big rebellion. And he says, I just want to see your face.
Yeah.
Ooh. This is good. This is science. Just what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
You placed your hand over his face. In your presence, he wouldn't die. And all this while, saw your glory, and it shines down through. Now you've called us to boldly seek your face. Show me your face, Lord. Show me. Then gird up my legs, I might stand in this holy place. Show me your face, Lord, your power and your grace. I will make it to the end. If I could just see your face. David knew there was something more than the ark of your presence. In a manger, Messiah once more, amongst kings and some peasants. And all Israel saw the glory, and it shines down.
Stockings for Change is a new nonprofit organization. We provide Christmas stockings filled with age-appropriate personal care items to kids in the foster care system. Stockings for Change will also provide these items in cinch sack backpacks to kids in emergency transition situations throughout the year. You can make a donation by going to our website, www.stockingsforchange.org. Thank you so much, and please pray for us, make a donation, and keep us in your thoughts throughout the year. Merry Christmas.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. So this friendship between God and Moses is amazing. You know, God said to Moses, I never told Abraham my name, but I told you my name.
Yeah.
You know, he said, I speak to Moses like you speak to a friend. I'll never speak to anybody like that again.
Yeah.
They had a very close, intimate relationship. And Moses wanted to see the glory.
Yeah.
He wanted to see God. Of course, he could see the Shekinah glory, but he wanted to see more. You know, he wanted more. You know, if you're a sinful man, you don't want to get anywhere near God. You know, you would dread that. And not that Moses wasn't sinful, but he wants an even more intimate view, a more intimate relationship. He wants to see the whole glory. But of course, as human beings, we can't see that.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, we can't see that. So he puts him in, you know, what everybody knows is as the cleft of the rock.
Yeah.
You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul talks about the rock followed the people through the wilderness and the rock was Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So the cleft of the rock, it's a break in the rock that he puts Moses in. So it's like Christ. It represents Jesus. So, you know, you could look at it as his wounds. Mm-hmm. You could look at it as just being in him. But in Jesus, Moses can see some of he can see the glory pass by.
Right.
We can only see God's glory through Christ because, you know, we have to be hidden in him to really know this,
mm-hmm.
or else we'd be consumed. We wouldn't be able to deal with this. And we need to build ourselves, build our lives and build everything on that rock.
Yeah.
Who was Christ. So Moses couldn't see the glory. So he puts him in the rock, covers him with his hand, and he catches a glimpse of the back of the glory as it goes by.
Yeah.
And he pronounces his name, which sounds funny in English because it says, I pronounce my name, Lord, but that's all capitalized in your Bible,
right.
Which means it's Yahweh.
Right.
So he's passing by and he's pronouncing his name, which is amazing because God never told anybody his name until the burning bush, and no one's allowed to say his name.
Right.
And so Moses gets a glimpse of the glory because otherwise, if God doesn't provide a way for him to see the glory, he can't experience it or else he'll die.
Yeah. You know, what's really profound here is that as Moses is in that cleft, he sees the back of God.
Mm-hmm.
He sees the back of God's glory.
Mm-hmm.
But when he comes down the mountain, the people see the glory of God.
Mm.
The light.
Yeah, that's right.
That was transferred onto Moses just by God passing by him.
Yeah.
I mean, God is pure light. God is pure love. There's no sin. There's no darkness. And to contemplate that or even think about that, I think is something that we would have a hard time to understand, is that just to be in the presence of God just by him passing by Moses, Moses' face became so bright that he had to put a veil over it.
Mm-hmm.
And so in that song, when Paul's singing, and all Israel saw your glory and it shines through the age.
Mm.
What's shining? It's the light of God.
Yes.
Because when we're in the presence of God, we become like God.
Mm-hmm.
Because we become like the one whom we worship.
Mm-hmm.
If I worship God and I seek God's face, I'm going to be transformed into his likeness and image, you know. And when Jesus is born, all Israel saw your glory.
Yes.
You know, the angels were there to proclaim glory to God in the highest.
Yes.
And peace to his people on earth.
Yeah.
And the shepherds come and they see this little baby.
Yes.
But there's this light and they see what Moses couldn't see.
That's right. They see the face of a little baby.
Right. And they see the living God.
Yeah. And as Paul said in 1 Colossians, the fullness of the Godhead dwelt in him, dwells in him.
Yeah.
So in this baby, the fullness of the Godhead dwelled. So the glory that Moses couldn't see, the people that were there, Mary and Joseph for sure, shepherds that came, whoever else was going by, there was glory outside that angels were singing, but in the face of this baby, they saw the glory of God that Moses couldn't see.
Yeah.
And if Moses had been there, he'd have been blown away because he would have understood what it was.
Yeah.
He didn't get to see it. He caught a glimpse. Mm-hmm. These people saw it full.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, even Isaiah in chapter 6, he couldn't deal with the glory of God.
Right.
You know, he just comes apart at the seams and says, oh, now I'm doomed.
Yeah.
But now people come in and look at this baby and they see that glory in a way that they can deal with it. They won't come apart. They won't be killed. Mm-hmm. They see the glory of God in a baby and later in a grown man and are able to not only to live, but to experience it, to worship it, to learn from it, to be with it.
To share with others.
To share with others, to share it through the whole known world of the time.
Yeah. And, you know, you bring up, you know, Isaiah from when he's in the temple. And, you know, he says, woe is me. I've seen the glory of God. I'm doomed to die.
Mm-hmm.
But yet he lives.
Yes.
And, you know, that's where, you know, we get that song Kadosh, holy, 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 Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sevaot, holy is Lord our God.
Yes.
So he sees a glimpse of God's glory.
Mm-hmm.
And it changes us, you know, because the presence of God is so strong and so powerful that, you know, his light, his holiness just puts everything into perspective that I'm not, and he is.
That's right. Amen. Wow. Well, I hope you've enjoyed these Advent shows. And again, Merry Christmas from Gift of Grace Ministries and all our staff.
Yes. And we pray that the light of Christ, the newborn King of Kings, will come into your hearts, your minds, and your souls and reveal the glory of God in all its fullness. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.